This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Clay Travis joins us now from Fox Sports. Tennessee plays Florida this week, and I know they've lost to Georgia State this year, but for some reason it feels like there's a fighting chance for the Volunteers in Gainesville now that Felipe Franks is out and Kyle Trask is in. Do you buy it as a Tennessee man?
Yeah, I just don't think Florida's that good. So last year, Tennessee went on the road and beat Auburn, and they made a couple of plays and in the passing game, got a turnover. I don't remember. One of you guys can maybe look it up. I don't know how quickly you can access it, but I think Tennessee was more than a two-touchdown underdog in that game. And I think the reason why the upset was possible was Auburn was just okay. Right? I mean, just an okay team. And Tennessee was able to go on the road in the Plains and win, even though they weren't particularly good either, just because they made a couple of plays. And I think that's kind of where we are with Tennessee-Florida this year. Now, I was not a fan of Felipe Franks in terms of his overall talent. I actually think Florida might be better with Kyle Trask. Now, he's not as mobile. He's not as big and physical when it comes to third and three, being able to extend plays. He obviously doesn't have as big of an arm. But I think he might be more consistently okay than Felipe Franks was. So, look, I mean, I think BYU, Tennessee had BYU beat. BYU just beat USC. I don't think Tennessee's awful. I mean, I think Tennessee is an okay team, a 6-6, 7-5 type team that's got a tough schedule and so might not get there. But, yeah, I already bet Tennessee plus 14. I think that's too much for Florida to be favored over most SEC teams. I like the under in this game and expect it to be close going into the fourth quarter.
In one plus year, Chip Kelly is now 3-12 in Westwood, and you start to look at the schedule, they're going to open 0-5. There's a good chance they go 1-11 or 2-10 this year, which is worse than year one. Is this a Chip Kelly thing, or is this more of a UCLA thing?
Man, I don't know. I was talking about this on my show with Petros Papadakis earlier, a couple hours ago, and obviously he's out in L.A. And closer to this, and I think it's kind of stunning, honestly, how bad UCLA has been in year two under Chip Kelly. And I think maybe we all got seduced based on how good he was with quarterbacks, that his quarterback was not that important, that he could find a guy and make him good. And I think maybe we underrated that because the guy's got a hyphenated last name, DSG or whatever this guy's name is, who's his quarterback right
Dorian
now.
Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Yeah, DTG or DTR. He's awful. He's really, really bad. And he's not good in this offense. And so I think maybe that's the problem, is that they expected him to be better as a quarterback. And, I mean, look, they scored 14 points in three straight games, three straight losses. It's one thing if they were losing, you know, 45-41, but to get the drubbings that they're getting, I don't know what's going to change. I'm not an expert. He's not recruiting at a high level. I think it's a disaster if you had to kind of put it out there. And, look, I mean, maybe this is just a sign of where some of these programs were, but there are four schools that I could name that have made coaching hires in the last couple of years. Chip Kelly at UCLA, Scott Frost at Nebraska, Willie Taggart at FSU, and Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee. None of the four of those guys have winning records yet in year two. Maybe it's just a sign that UCLA, Nebraska, Florida State, and Tennessee are in such tough spots that it's hard to judge any of those programs in year two, and it's going to take into year three before you can get a fair kind of approximation on how those schools are going to do with their jobs and with their coaches. Because I do think it's fair to say those are all four pretty good jobs, and there hasn't been any kind of immediate, oh, my God, this school is back situation for any of them in year two so far.
Clay Travis is with us on the Natty Seltzer Hotline. See him this afternoon, 3:30 FS1 with Lock It In. Every morning on Fox Sports Radio, at Clay Travis on Twitter, OutkickTheCoverage.com, and Republicans Buy Sneakers Too is his book. Jim mentioned the poll question we asked coming in. I would be interested in your thoughts. Do you consider Georgia the best team in the country right now? And if yes or no, what would change your mind in their game versus Notre Dame?
It's hard to judge whether they're the best team in the country because of the level of competition so far. So let's begin there. But I think that if you look at every other team maybe other than Ohio State, who still hasn't really played anybody either. You know, Indiana's roughly approximate, I would say, on the road to what Georgia did going to Vanderbilt. I think Georgia has shown the fewest holes. And what I mean by that is, look, LSU looked really good on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, I wasn't very impressed with what I saw against Texas. Alabama, I don't know about you guys, but I watched that whole game against South Carolina. Tua is probably going to be the number one overall pick in the draft. I mean, he's a revelation at quarterback, right? There's obviously incredible talent at wide receiver. I don't know that the defense is even very good at Alabama right now. Certainly, it's not very good by historic standards. And the running game, I think, is not very good, at least so far, for Alabama. You know, I watched that game, and I found myself thinking, if Alabama had a typical Alabama quarterback, what would I think about this team? I think they were a 9-3 or 10-2 type team, based on what I've seen from their defense and their rush attack so far. Maybe that's unfair. Maybe Alabama's going to get things ironed out on the defensive side. But I think as you go around, Georgia has the ability, potentially, to be the most complete team in college football. And I think I already bet them. I bet them at 13.5. I don't know what the number is today. I think Georgia is going to blow out Notre Dame in Athens.
Daniel Jones now the starter with the Giants. Eli Manning is on the bench. They benched him. That's the official word today. If you're Eli Manning, do you hold the clipboard, headsets the rest of the year? Do you retire? Or do you say, hey, see if the Steelers or the Saints or somebody like that who needs a quarterback now are willing to give you a late round, fifth round, sixth round pick and let me finish out the year there?
I would want to be traded or retire. And maybe that's just me. And I don't know what Eli Manning thinks about his career, how much he thinks he might have left, but he's won two Super Bowls. And I don't know. I mean, you guys, maybe you can think of one. Can you think of a two-time Super Bowl champ who wanted to be a backup in the NFL? I think, you know, Eli Manning is going to make the Hall of Fame. I understand some people disagree, but I think when you win two Super Bowls and you have the longevity and the numbers that he posted, I think it'll be hard pressed to leave him out of the Hall of Fame. But I can't think of very many Hall of Fame or Super Bowl double winners that have ever finished their career by choice as backups. So we saw this happen once before when Eli got benched for Geno Smith for one game, and there was kind of an uproar about it. I think if I'm Eli, I either want to be traded to someone where I think I can start, or I want to retire.
Would you let a Komodo dragon bite you for $1 million?
No. Because my understanding is the Komodo dragon bite is insanely poisonous. And so if you get bitten by one, like, you can look this up, that it spreads and it becomes a major issue and, like, your skin dies and everything else. This isn't something where, like, if you get bitten by a rattlesnake, which I also don't think I would want to have happen, or a copperhead, like, the odds of you dying are really, really low, and also the odds of you having to get, like, a part of your leg amputated are virtually zero. I still wouldn't do it, but I'd be much more likely to get voluntarily bitten by a copperhead or a rattlesnake than a Komodo dragon.
Maybe one day at a UAB game you can make that choice if our poll goes well.
Yeah. I think it would be amazing if UAB had a Komodo dragon. Although, I don't know, like, where would they keep it?
Well, safe enclosure. You're going to have a full glass enclosure. Cage doesn't work because the spit's venomous. So it's going to have to be a full glass enclosure.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, they used to bring Mike the Tiger into the stadium at LSU, right? Like,
right.
When I was a kid.
Yeah.
And now they don't bring Mike the Tiger ever out of his cage, right?
I don't think so, no. He doesn't roam free. We could not let him roam free. He's going to have to be a glass enclosure at the new stadium we're building downtown.
Well, Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he would never be able to leave the glass enclosure. Like, that's the only way you could have him. And I also don't know, how many Komodo dragons are there?
They're endangered.
Are they common in, but are they common in zoos?
No.
We got one here in Birmingham.
Zoos, but they're only indigenous to the Indonesian islands.
Yeah, right.
But you guys have one at the Birmingham?
Yeah, Birmingham Zoo. Life without parole is what he serves.
Yeah, that's a pretty good deal to have the Komodo dragon.
We got a pretty good zoo. You'd be surprised.
You would think it's great, but it's the worst display in there. The thing never does anything.
Yeah, he's lazy.
Yeah, we had a big discussion. We had the zoo people from Nashville come in, and they were like, we're going to get a bear. And I was like, oh, that's big. You know, because, like, if you think, I mean, I've been to the zoo a lot with kids. I'm like, what kind of bear are you going to get? And they're like, well, we're going to get, like, this, it was like a small bear. And I said, look, here's the deal. If you're going to go bear, you got to go grizzly.
We got grizzly bears. We got a great zoo.
No, we used to have bears. We don't have bears anymore. But you say the Komodo doesn't do anything. Vulcan doesn't do anything.
Well,
I would
statue.
Much rather send somebody Blast to see the me. Dragon than Vulcan.
Yeah, I think also here's the other thing. You would sell a ton of apparel if you were the Komodos, right?
Yep.
Like the if UAB like the and my argument, like so I went to George Washington University.
Then you get a Bill Romanowski on your team.
Yeah. We are yeah.
Does he
right.
spit?
Yeah. We are the Colonials. And there had been talk about changing the name GW to the Hippos. And I was like, well, it's kind of ridiculous a little bit, but the George Washington Hippos would sell a lot more here. Than the George Washington Colonials. And so from a pure marketing perspective, if you had a badass Komodo dragon logo sort of wrapping around UAB, to me, that's a no-brainer.
I agree. Clay, thank you. Have a great week.
All right, y'all too. Appreciate
All right, I'll kick the coverage. Fox Sports Radio, FS1, Clay Travis. On the Natty Seltzer Hotline, the hottest spike seltzer on the market, two great flavors, cherry lime and mango peach.
Follow the show on Instagram @JocksRoundtable.